This episode of Love to Sew is brought to you by Spoonflower. Our community asked for a better quality cotton fabric with competitive pricing, and Spoonflower delivered. Their exclusive Petal Signature Cotton has the quality of Kona Cotton Ultra at the cost of basic cotton ultra, just $17.50 a yard.
Brittany J. Jones actually gave it a try to make a fabulous leopard print top. We will link it in the show notes. Love to Sew listeners can get 15% off their first Spoonflower order at try.spoonflower.com/love to sew. And you can tag your Spoonflower Memades with hashtag Spoonflower Apparel.
Yes, the hashtag is here.
Finally. And now on to the show. Da 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 da.
Hello and welcome. I'm Helen.
And I'm Carolyn.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are chatting with Brittany J. Jones. Brittany is an amazing sewist who loves to share her makes on her blog and YouTube channel. We talk about sewing in 30-minute increments, putting yourself out there and sharing your makes, and what goes on behind the scenes in a YouTuber's sewing room.
Ooh, peek behind the curtain.
Love it.
Love it. Hello, Brittany. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes. My name is Brittany Jones. I am a military spouse, a mom of four, and I stay at home, take care of the babies, and I love to sew.
That's great. We all love to sew. And where are you from, Brittany?
I'm from Columbus, Georgia, born and raised. I love the South.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
And where are you living right now?
I'm currently living in San Diego, California. We just moved here at the beginning of the year. Like I said, we're military, so we travel every 3 years. We pack up and move, and we just moved to this duty station, and I'm loving it here.
Oh, California. It must be amazing.
Yes, I love it.
Every 3 years, you get to reset up your whole sewing space.
Yes, yes. Every 3 years, we pack up, and it's like a new adventure. I don't know what my new sewing space will look like. I don't even know if I will have one. So it's definitely an adventure, and it's fun. So yeah, every 3 years, we're on the road moving.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a really exciting life. And I would love to be able to set up my sewing space again every 3 years.
Yeah.
How do you say that? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's not as glamorous as it sounds.
Right?
Well, Brittany, you are also an amazing vlogger, blogger. You have an awesome Instagram. So we're definitely going to ask you about that a little bit later. But we always start off the show by asking our guests how and when they learned to sew. So can you tell us your sewing story?
Yes. Well, my mom, she self-taught her to sew while she was, when I was young. She decided that she wanted to teach herself to sew. I can like vividly remember her going to a pawn shop and buying a sewing machine and coming home, and she just started to sew, but I wasn't interested in it at all. So I did not start sewing then, but I was introduced to it. So I, you know, saw what a machine was, saw what patterns were, helped her out with serging when she needed help. But like I said, I wasn't interested. But at the end of 2013, I had just had a baby. So I was, you know, fluctuating between weight. I didn't want to spend a lot of money, and I wasn't really big into style or anything. So I was like, let's just make a bunch of maxi skirts. Maxi skirts were the way to go. So I went online, went on YouTube. I found a sew a maxi in 5 minutes, and I loved it. I learned the video, watched it, went and bought me a machine February of 2014, and I've been sewing since then.
Amazing. Wow. A 5 minute skirt.
Yeah. I was like, I can sew a rectangle. I can do this. And that's what I've been sewing. I mean, I started out with that, and then I went into doing pajamas for the children and pillows, and then I really got into patterns, and I'm obsessed with patterns now.
Oh my gosh, we definitely want to ask you more about your obsession with patterns. I'm curious though, you mentioned your mom sewed when you were growing up, but did you have any other friends or family in your life, kind of in your day-to-day life, who sewed, who maybe inspired you or made you feel like, oh, this is something I could totally tackle?
No, not at all. It was just my mom. I saw her sewing, but like I said, I was in middle school then. I was like, I'm trying to, you know, be cute. I'm not trying to wear homemade, you know, so I wasn't into it then, but, and I didn't have anyone else, you know, sewing around me. As I got older, of course, I wasn't into sewing. I didn't see anybody sewing. So yeah, in 2013, that's when I was like, let's make some clothes. I need something to wear. Let's make a maxi skirt. And that's, you know, when I got online and started seeing other people that sewed. And then I really just fell in love with it.
Oh, that's amazing. And you mentioned before we started recording that your mom's visiting you right now.
She is.
Does she still sew? Do you guys talk about sewing or ever make things together?
Yes. Yes. That's what we're doing the whole time she's here.
Oh, really? Oh, how fun. Yes,
we're going to be sewing. We were just sewing today. I'm working on a dress for a really nice event, special event that I'm going to soon. And she is here helping me finish it.
Cool. So let's talk about where you're at with your sewing right now. So over the last 5 years, you've mm-hmm. been sewing a ton. And at this point, how much would you say of your wardrobe is handmade?
At least 90%.
Oh, wow. 90%. Good for you.
I mean, I still, you know, buy jeans and I still buy workout clothes, but everything else in my closet is, I've made it.
And what are your favorite things to make?
Oh, wow. I love making jumpsuits. I love making dresses, skirts. I love it all. Dresses, skirts, jumpsuits, pants. Yeah, I mean, I love all the essentials. Let's just say that, which is everything, I guess. So I love sewing everything.
It's great when you enjoy sewing those wardrobe basics, because then yes. you really can craft a handmade wardrobe and
yes.
and whip things up a little faster too when you're not making fancy, you know, wedding gowns or coats and things like that.
Right. Yes.
And we have noticed that you are a Big Four person. You love the Big Four. We've seen your pattern collection and it is pretty intense. So yes. tell us a bit about which pattern companies are your favorites and who you kind of gravitate towards and why.
Out of the Big Four, I definitely gravitate more to Simplicity and McCall Patterns. Butterick, I do love their lifestyle and wardrobe patterns a lot, which I'm really starting to get in more to, where you get the one pattern that has five, you know, garments on it that you can sew, create an easy little mini collection. Vogues are also amazing, but I definitely gravitate more to Simplicity and McCall Patterns.
Nice.
Can we talk a little bit about your pattern stash and how you keep all of your patterns organized?
Yes. So right now I just have them organized by the brand and the number. I thought maybe that I would want to go into organizing them by garment type, but right now it's easier to just organize them by the brand and go through the numbers like that. So that's how everything is organized. So I have a drawer for my McCall's, a drawer for my Vogue's. I have two drawers for my Simplicity's. And I also have a drawer for my daughter. She has her patterns. I have hers organized the same way as mine. So for me right now, organizing by brand and number is perfect.
Yeah, I could see how that would be probably the most easy to find yeah. what you're looking for. But then, of course, you can't just look at all the dresses or just look right? at all the tops, which would be something that I would want to do too. Do you have any digital organization going on, or are you purely physical organization?
Just physical organization. I thought about looking into some apps, because some people did, you know, mention some to me when they saw my big drawer patterns. They was like, well, maybe you should try this app. So I do have some recommendations, but I haven't looked into those just yet.
That would be quite an undertaking.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many patterns do you think you have? Have you ever counted?
Oh, no, I have not counted them yet. I get asked that a lot. I know I'm probably close to maybe 300, maybe more. Maybe I'm downplaying it.
You're in denial.
Right? Yeah. And then I just bought some more, of course.
Of course.
And where do you like to shop for fabric?
I do a lot of shopping online. Which I guess that just kind of came about because the places that we've been stationed at, they didn't have a lot of craft stores, you know, close by. I used to have to drive an hour to Joann's or 45 minutes to Hobby Lobby. And I was like, I'm not doing this. So I get a lot of my fabric online, and I find some great deals online too. It's amazing shops online that I really love.
Ooh, tell us what your favorite online shops are.
My favorite is LA Finch Fabrics. I love them. Fashion Fabrics Club is new to me, but I'm really loving them. I can find some really great deals on Fashion Fabrics Club. There are some other shops. Of course, I have to say Blackbird Fabrics.
I mean, you don't have to.
No, I ordered some really, really amazing wool from you guys, and it was amazing. I made a men's coat with it, and it was amazing. So, yes, I'm definitely loving the online shops.
Oh, yeah, us too. It's hard not to, right? There's just so many to choose from.
Right.
And do you have a large fabric stash in your sewing room? I guess if you're moving around a lot, maybe that comes into play when you think about how much stuff you're going to stash.
Right. I do not have a big stash at all. My patterns, I guess I don't know if I subconsciously said, okay, I'm going to, you know, collect patterns, not fabric. And I can't do both. So I have a lot of patterns, but I do not have a lot of fabric. I do not have a big stash at all.
Oh, well, there you go. That seems fair then. You're allowed one.
Yeah. It's kind of project to project when it comes to fabrics, or if I see something I cannot like live without. But for the most part, it's project to project.
And if any of our listeners want to watch your pattern stash organization system, you have a Instagram story highlighted on your profile so they can go check out your pattern storage thing.
Yes, I do. I do. I have it's highlighted there, and I tell you, you know, what the organization, the drawer is and where I purchased it from. And also that I did it myself. I was determined to do it by myself.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a lot of assembling of furniture.
It was. Well, you know what? To be honest, I had no choice. My husband is currently deployed overseas. So it's like, I got to do it. If I want it done, I got to get it done myself.
Fair enough.
Another cool thing that you have in your sewing room is a whiteboard, right?
Yes, I do.
This is super brilliant. So can you tell our listeners what you use that for?
Well, I use it mostly for upcoming projects. I'll write that on my whiteboard. If I'm working with the brand, I'll write down the project, the steps that I need to go through to, you know, get the project finished and uploaded and sent over to them. I'll also plan out, let me see, it's the upcoming fabrics, it's the brand projects. It's just like my everyday schedule also. Like I'll write down what I'm going to be doing the next day. That way I kind of have an idea of what I'm going to be doing, because if not, I would just go in my sewing room and waste time. I've wasted so much time without a plan. So I kind of write down what I want to do the next day, or, you know, the same day later on that day or whatever have you. But I kind of like to write that down on the board to keep me on track.
That is so smart. I feel like I suffer from getting distracted every time I go back to my sewing area, and I'm, you know, the next day or maybe even a week later, and I can't remember what I had planned last week to work on, and I get all distracted. Yeah. So do you have dedicated sewing time every day? Because you talk about, you know, coming into the studio and looking at that whiteboard and thinking about what you're going to do. Is that a dedicated time that you've set aside?
I do. Well, I won't say dedicated because I do have children. My youngest, she still is at home with me, but we kind of have a system now. I know after I get the boys off to school and after we go on our walk, then I have, you know, at least an hour, hour and a half of blockage there, time to where I can sew. So that's a little area that I can sew. After I get the children from school, that's a little time that I can sew before dinner. And also when the children go to bed, that's when I get most of my sewing done.
Fair enough. And it's amazing that you have four kids and your husband, you mentioned, is deployed. So you're on your own right now and you're still making time to sew and blog and all that stuff. We're going to talk about your YouTube channel later. But how do you make time and prioritize sewing when you have all of this other family stuff going on?
It's honestly a must, because for me, it's sewing just... You know how everybody says, like, not everybody, but we have our reasons for sewing. Some is for therapy. Some is just for relaxing. Some is just to be creative. For me, it's just calming. It's my own thing. And I can just kind of zen out for a little bit, create something. It just keeps me, I guess I say grounded, you know, keeps me together to be able to be creative and then take a break from that and still be present and be a mom and all that fun stuff. So it's a must that I take out that time for myself.
Oh, I love that. And is your daughter the one who's home with you? Is she the one that you've been sewing for lately? Because I saw you making some matching outfits.
Yes, she is. She's getting to where she likes to pick out her own patterns now.
Oh, cool. That's really fun.
So I have to, I can't buy all the $1.99 patterns for myself. I have to get a couple for her now.
So now you're getting competitive.
Right. I'm like, look, I get six, you get four.
60-40 split. That's my best offer.
Right.
Negotiation. I love that. Yeah. So is she showing an interest in learning how to sew, or is she just in it for the clothes?
She's just in it for the clothes. She loves sparkly fabric. She loves to see. Every time we walk through Joanne, she's like, can we go down this aisle? And she's rubbing the fabrics. Can I touch it? So she's just in it for the clothes right now. Hopefully, she'll want to create and sew when she gets older. But right now, she just wants the clothes.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I have such strong memories of going to the fabric store with my mom when I was a kid and doing the same thing.
Oh, wow.
Feeling all the fabrics. And, I didn't do much sewing as a kid, but now sewing's my life. So
yeah. Right? You never know. Maybe I can come back to it. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, I'm kind of curious about how you approach your sewing practice, because your time is so limited and you're, raising four kids, and sometimes you're on your own when your husband is deployed. Are mm-hmm. you like a perfectionist at the sewing machine, or do you feel like you sort of have to cast that aside because time is limited? I'm just curious kind of how your sewing practice goes.
I won't say a perfectionist, but I definitely take my time. I don't let, me being only having this short amount of time to make me rush. So I definitely still take my time. I even do extra stuff, add bias tape and all these extra little details, because even though I'm short on time, I still want the garment to be great. I want to love it when I wear it. I don't want to cut corners. So if it takes me, 30 minutes to add a piece of bias tape, then I'm just going to take those 30 minutes, because for me, I want to feel great when I wear it. So yeah, I don't rush through it. And I don't know, do you call that a perfectionist? No. I like to take the small details into account now and really just, make the best garment I can make.
I think that's really nice. Do you find sewing relaxing or meditative at all?
Definitely. Definitely. I absolutely love it. It just calms me, zens me. And I just love being able to create and then being able to wear it. Like, it's a good feeling.
So you've been sewing for a long time. Are there any projects that you haven't tackled yet that you're hoping to tackle one day, or any types of garments that you haven't tried to sew yet?
Maybe a nice blazer. I haven't really tackled a really fitted, structured, like a good blazer. I haven't tackled one of those, but I've pretty much done everything else. I've made some formal dresses. Yeah, I think I've done everything else. I just haven't made maybe like a fitted blazer. That's like the only thing that comes to mind that I really haven't tackled just yet.
Oh, man. Well, we've been seeing a lot of blazers in the community since Closet Case released that Jessica blazer. So it's pretty cool to see so many people tackling a project that's a bit more involved, a little bit trickier, and just going for it.
Yes, that was an amazing pattern that that Heather created. Yes.
Yeah. And we also noticed that you collaborate a lot with different fabric stores and pattern companies and sewing machine companies. So can you tell us a bit about how you got into collaborating with those companies? Do people reach out to you? Do you reach out to them, and how you structure that part of your sewing practice?
Yes. Well, a lot of the fabric companies, they reach out to me. I'm always just blown away, number one, when people want to work with me. I'm like, wait, really? Thank you. I'm always just so grateful and thankful for the opportunity. So the fabric companies, they reach out and, we come up with ideas. Maybe it's like a seasonal thing. Right now, the summertime. So, maybe somebody wants a swimsuit or something like that. So whatever, is going on, we kind of collaborate and come up with an idea, and I just create from that. Sometimes the company just, wants to send fabric, and, you create, whatever you want with that. So that's always amazing. For my sewing machine company, I am a brand ambassador for Husqvarna Viking. And I'm just so So grateful for that. That came about actually through a referral. I don't know if you all know Emily Hallman.
Yeah.
Emily Hallman Design. Mm-hmm. Yes. She referred me to the company and they loved me and wanted to work with me. So I'm so grateful to her for that, because that's something that she did not have to do. That was so sweet and kind of her. So yes, that brand ambassadorship is awesome.
There's a really cute story on your Instagram where you're waiting by the door for your sewing machine to arrive. And it's like every day there's like a picture of Brittany waiting by the door, like, with her coffee, like still waiting. And then there's like the UPS truck pulls up and it's like, it's here. Yes. It's so cute. I loved it.
I stalked that truck. I was like, when is it coming?
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. And that's really nice that Emily gave you a referral for that. I think that it kind of shows that, you know, those connections in the sewing community can really help you out. And I guess I'm kind of curious what your experience has been like interacting with the sewing community. Have you made some really nice deep connections with other people in the sewing world? Do you enjoy kind of connecting with that online sewing community?
Yes, I have. I've definitely met some people online that I definitely consider friends, people that I can call and talk to now if for anything, just to say hi, or if I need something, need help with something, I could definitely reach out to them. And it's nice already because you connect through sewing, but when you can connect on, you know, a deeper level and become friends with someone offline, it's amazing. And I've definitely been able to do that in the sewing community.
Oh, that's wonderful. You do have like a very welcoming and friendly vibe. And I mean, you do. And you come across as very authentic. And I think that really helps, especially when you are making steps to monetize and make collaborations with other companies and represent yourself truly, truthfully to other people. And that comes across.
Uh-huh.
Right. Have you found it difficult at all to maintain that connection with your followers and your fans while still monetizing and doing those kind of collaborative projects?
No, I haven't. I feel like when it comes to maybe when I'm collaborating with a fabric brand, if I just, you know, create what's my style, then I can keep that connection with my audience and they know what I make. They know what my style is. So if I stick to myself and create that, then they respond well to that.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why people would want to collaborate with you, because your photos are so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are so beautiful. So
I stress about that all the time.
Oh, really?
It's just me. It's just me taking my photos. I have a tripod and a clicker.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't realize that. They look like they've been taken by somebody else.
Oh, gosh, I wish.
Thank you. Maybe when your kids get a little older, you can
remember
that task. Yeah.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your YouTube channel and your blog. I kind of want to know what the history of that was and sort of how and why you decided to start a blog and a YouTube channel.
Okay. Well, the blog came about in 2016. I said, you know how you talk yourself up to do something. I'm going to do this. But then you make like a list of excuses on why, then you procrastinate. So 2016, I said, okay, this is the year I'm going to do it. So I invested in all of the, you know, a laptop, a camera and all that stuff. And I just started to blog. I wanted to share my work, number one. And I also wanted to just encourage and, you know, inspire makers to try new things, because the blog for me was totally new. I was clueless on what I was doing, but I did it anyway. And I just, you know, wanted to share. That was the whole point behind my blog, to sew something and to share it. So when I started that, I said, okay, if I'm going to start this blog, let me start a YouTube channel.
Why not? Pilot on.
Right? So I did that. And again, I had no clue what I was doing. I was just sharing and having fun. And it went from me not knowing what I'm doing to I know a little bit now. I know a little bit more now. But yeah, I still just love to share. So that's what it's all about. Just sharing and hopefully encourage and inspire somebody along the way.
Yeah, and you really do that. And I really love how you've kind of come full circle, because when you started sewing, you said that you were watching a YouTube video for a 5-minute maxi skirt, and now you are making YouTube videos and inspiring other people to sew and teaching other people. So maybe for our listeners out there who haven't checked you out yet, tell us what they can expect from your YouTube channel. What kind of content is on there?
Well, a lot of sewing. Yeah. I share my haul video. So if you love to see what everybody else spend money on, go broke doing, then you can definitely expect haul videos. I share fabric, I share patterns. One thing I recently started doing this year was doing preview videos where I record, where I show you our upcoming sew along. So I record that video and upload it on Monday, and I go through the pattern instructions. I share with you the fabric that I'll be using, all the notions that I purchased, the size that I'll be cutting, because a lot of people want to know my sizing, because I do some grading to get the pattern to fit me. So I go through all of that in that video. And then on Friday, I upload the sew along and I walk you step by step to sew the pattern. So those are types of videos that you can expect on my channel.
And what would you say are the most popular videos? Would you say that there's like a specific type of content that people really respond to?
People are loving the preview videos. Awesome. And I had no idea, you know, that I had no idea that people would enjoy seeing, you know, seeing that. But people love the preview videos. They love the sew along. They definitely love the what I made the previous month, to kind of share with you everything that I sewed that month. And I just talk a little bit more about that in those videos. So those are my popular videos, the what I made, the preview, and the sew along.
Yeah, it's really amazing that you do these sew alongs where people can actually watch you sew. And I love your setup because you have the top down camera and you've even got like a little mini ironing board in there. So you can show people your iron, like you show every step, but you also edit it. So you take out all the in between, moving between machines and stuff like that, which makes it faster. So we can watch you sew. For, I'm imagining it's probably like a 2-hour sewing session, but it's only a 1/2-hour video. So it ends up being a lot more condensed, which
it's actually a lot more than that. It's like 2 days.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Because I don't have that much time to sew with the children. So I can only record like 5 steps in the morning, 5 steps at night, and then do the rest the next day. So yeah, I definitely have to edit a lot.
Oh my gosh.
So do you have like a lighting setup? If you have to record at night, you must have like those lights so that it doesn't matter what, the weather is outside and it always kind of looks the same.
Yes, I do. And I just purchased those this year. My videos previous to 2019 were all recorded with a window. I didn't have lighting. So I had to record in the morning. That was my only option. But now I can record once the children are in bed, and it's the best thing ever. So I'm loving my lights right now. I'm loving those.
Oh, cool. Which kind of lights did you get for any listeners out there who are interested in getting some lights themselves?
I have the photo kit. It's the Limo Studios from Amazon. But I have different light bulbs. The light bulbs that originally came with them, they didn't last that long. So I just upgraded the light bulbs, and that was the game changer for me. And those are Limo Studio light bulbs as well.
Cool. I'll have to check that out. I need some lights. Is your YouTube channel and your blog connected? Like, do you blog about the projects that you make on the YouTube channel, or are they kind of, they're separate things?
They're connected. Yeah. So whenever I blog about something that I have a video for, I will link to the video at the bottom of the blog. So yes, they are connected, but I do still sew projects in between the videos. So I don't record everything that I make. That would just be, I wouldn't have any time for anything.
That was going to be one of my questions, because you talked about having limited time to sew. And I can imagine when you walk into your sewing room and you're thinking about what you want to make, and then you probably have the thought like, am I going to record this or am I not going to record this? How do you decide what is going to be a YouTube project and what's just going to be just you sewing for fun?
Well, that comes about from, honestly, just being on Instagram and seeing what people are loving. The patterns, the new patterns that people are excited about, I go, okay, I'm going to do a video on that. Because I know people are excited about it, so they may want to, have a step-by-step video to guide them. So that's one way I decide what pattern I will be making. Another way is just also, what do I love and what I want to make? So I try to do at least 2 to 3 sew-along videos a month. And one is definitely the most popular pattern from Instagram or social media. And another one is what I love. And then the third one, I just kind of toss up and go, let's just sew this.
That's awesome. And do you do a mix of sort of easier projects and more complicated projects? So you have a bit of a balance, or something for beginners and something for people who are more advanced?
I do pull on pants with elastic, and then I do something with buttonholes, and then I do something with lining and a jacket. Or so I definitely mix it up, so it's not just all beginner projects and not just all intermediate or advanced projects.
Very cool. Well, I feel like people can learn so much from watching someone else sew, because there's all these little details and tips that you pick up when you're watching someone else do it, and you do it so, so well. So I encourage our listeners to go check it out.
Thank you.
This episode of Love to Sew is sponsored by Spoonflower. The Spoonflower Small Business Handbook is live. If you read the Spoonflower Seller Handbook and wanted more tips on how to grow your small business, you're in luck, because they are introducing the first installment of the Small Business Handbook. Over the next few months, they'll be welcoming creative entrepreneurs to share how they've grown their business through meaningful mission statements, top-notch product photography, and so much more.
If you were inspired to start creating your own custom designs to sell in the Spoonflower marketplace after Spoonflower's episode all about surface design, be sure to read the Spoonflower Seller Handbook, a digital series where you'll learn how you can better promote yourself and stand out in a marketplace that's growing by the minute.
And did you know that the textile dyeing and finishing industry is the second biggest polluter of clean water? At Spoonflower, they print fabrics with an eco-friendly ink and dye that uses just a thimble of water to print 5 yards of fabric. Compare that to the 100 2-liter bottles that conventional fabric printing and dyeing consumes for the same amount. They offer an eco-friendly print-on-demand process to our community.
There are no minimums, so you can order a swatch for just $5. And if you want to create the perfect bathroom selfie, like the one in my Blackbird Fabrics restroom, you can order any design from the Spoonflower Marketplace on removable, renter-friendly wallpaper starting at just $5.
Love to Sew listeners can get 15% off their first Spoonflower order at try.spoonflower.com/love to sew. And you can tag your Spoonflower me-mades with hashtag Spoonflower Apparel so we can all see your gorgeousness.
Go back and do it. So YouTube for Helen and I is kind of like a mystery, because we both are not video people and we don't make YouTube videos or anything. So I would love it if you could take us behind the scenes a little bit of producing a video for your channel and talk to us about the filming process and the editing process, and how long that after part, you know,
post-production
takes. Yeah. And then also like managing comments and feedback and all of that stuff that's associated with it. Like, how does that process go?
Oh, it's definitely a process. That's the right word for it. Well, you know, first I decide on the project that I want to make. Sometimes I will have to go shopping, or I may have something in the stash that will work for it. So I will, you know, set up the camera. Right now I have my sewing room, which is amazing. So I don't have to break down my lighting setup. I can keep that set up, which is, like I said, amazing to just have everything to stay up. So I can easily just put that stuff into position, turn it on, turn the camera on, and I can go. The first day of recording, I'm usually doing my intro or my outro. So I do those. Those are the day where I do my hair. So I'm like, okay, this is good hair day. Let's go ahead and do the intros. And then once those are done, then it's just all, you know, hands on the camera. You won't see my face anymore. So then I will start breaking up the pattern. I usually do about 5 or 6 steps at a time. And then I move on, you know, I go between the table and the sewing machine, sewing that. And then I like to edit the same day, because there's been times where I waited until I recorded the whole video and tried to sit down and record and edit the whole video. And that was a nightmare. Like, I kept falling asleep listening to myself. So now after I record a little bit, I try to edit that little bit the same night. That helps me out so much. And so then the next day I just pick up where I left off and, you know, do those same steps. Go ahead and photograph the look, edit those photos, add those to the videos. And then I can do my little thumbnail for YouTube for that, get everything uploaded and out. And then I have to do a blog post to go with the video. Then, you know, you have to do all the social media stuff. Then once you upload it, you get the video out there. I heard that it's good to, you know, make sure that you're responding quickly to those first comments. And so I try to respond. But sometimes I don't do it immediately. So I have to set aside time, usually at night before I go to bed, set aside like an hour to respond to those comments. That's the process. It's a lot, but I love it. So that's obviously I have to love it. The reason why I keep doing it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it does come through in your videos that you love it. And I know your subscribers probably learn so much from you. One of the things that I'm wondering as you're talking through the process is, do you ever make mistakes on camera or like, you know, mess up and have to like unpick things and start over? And do you show those parts or do you edit all of that out?
No, I show all of my mistakes. I will come back and I will go, okay, I screwed this up. Let's take it out. I loved doing that. And my viewers love to see that. I get a lot of comments that they love seeing that I didn't, you know, keep the mistakes away from them, that I not only showed them that I made the mistake, but I showed them how to fix it. So they love seeing that. I do not shy away from the mistakes because I don't want anybody to think that I'm like a magician and I'm like, I don't make any mistakes. I pull my scene ripper out just about every project. So I definitely want to show that because it's good for beginners to see that too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we agree. You have an agreement. It really is. It makes it seem so much less daunting when you know that people who are advanced sewers also make mistakes all the time. And honestly, like really dumb mistakes, easily avoidable mistakes can happen to anybody at any level. So it's really great that you keep that in there. And of course, learning how to fix them is a huge part of sewing. So that's awesome.
Yes, yes.
And your videos are, I mean, we've mentioned this before, they're so well made, super well edited. So I'm curious, did you have any training for that? And like, how do you get them to look so good?
Honestly, trial and error. I had absolutely no experience with making videos. When I say I'm obsessed with YouTube, I am, because not only am I on it uploading my own videos, I'm also watching other people's videos on how to do things. So when I, you know, wanted to know what the best camera was to buy, I went on YouTube. When I wanted to learn how to work Final Cut Pro, I went on YouTube and I learned this stuff. And I just went from there, trial and error. Honestly, it still blows my mind today that I can edit a video and, you know, upload it. I make so many mistakes. If I didn't know how to edit, no one would watch my video.
I mean, it does make them so watchable. And I think the editing is that step to the next level on YouTube that just makes the content so much easier to take in and to enjoy.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm self-taught with that. I'm self-taught with sewing. I'm just self-taught with everything.
And do you have any other sewing YouTubers that you enjoy following that you can maybe recommend to our listeners?
I love Lindsay of Inside the Hem. She's amazing. She just started to do these where she do a first impressions on the new patterns that comes out. I love to watch her do that and you know, just hear somebody else's thoughts on the new patterns. So I love that from Lindsay. There's also Viv Mom Sews. She is the best. I just love her because she's just herself. She doesn't care about, you know, she's just herself. I just love
she's
it.
She's not here for the followers. Awesome.
I know. She's just, but it's so funny because I don't think she is, but people are following her. She just started her YouTube channel, I think maybe last year, and she's already over 10,000 just from being herself. And she gets on there and she talks about her patterns, the things that she's made. I just love watching her because she's, like I said, she's just being herself and people love it. I love Mr. Domestic. Oh my gosh, he's amazing.
Oh, cool. I don't think I follow him.
I love watching Mr. Domestic. And the thing is, he doesn't sew clothes. He's into quilts and things like that. But I just love him. He also gives great business advice as far as starting your hobby, your business. Crafting business. He gives you great tips on that. So I love his channel.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Well, we'll link all of those in the show notes. And if you think of any more, you can send them our way and we'll put those in there too.
I definitely will.
So
if we kind of think back on when you first started your blog and your YouTube channel, first started sharing online, and you were learning all of this new stuff, and you know, as you said, had no idea what you were doing and just putting yourself out there. Do you remember how that felt? Like, do you remember having to kind of encourage yourself and put yourself out there? And do you have any words of encouragement for others who are thinking about starting something like this?
I do remember how it felt. And I'll be honest, when I was first starting, I just had so much joy. I felt more freedom. Not that I don't have it now, but I think it's just a little bit different because I wasn't worrying about an algorithm. I wasn't worrying about, you know, the little small details of how good this looks or how great this looks or, you know, fixing these mistakes. I was just having fun and sharing. And then I think the more you grow and the more you realize where you want your brand to go and what you want to do, then you have to start paying attention to the small details. And those small details can be a little stressful. But, you know, they are worth it to get to the next step. So even though it was, you know, so much joy and freedom then, I have a different sense of joy now when I'm creating and doing what I love. I still love it. I still have joy. It's just a little different now than what it was when it first started. So if you're just beginning, definitely enjoy that beginning stage where you are and just, you know, have fun. That's the fun time to learn and make mistakes and fix them. Don't stress out about what you think isn't looking right. Definitely don't compare yourself and your projects to other people. Just enjoy and have fun because that's the best time, I think. That's what I would say to encourage somebody to just have fun and enjoy the process. Don't compare yourself. Don't beat yourself down when you make mistakes. Stay true to yourself. Stay true to your style because a lot of things, you know, people see this that comes out and they want to make that and change their whole style. Don't do that. Just stay true to who you are and yeah, enjoy it.
That's really good advice.
It is. I couldn't agree more. It's also a special time to connect with people too, because at the beginning, you might feel like you don't have a lot of followers. And even if you have 10 people following your YouTube channel, those 10 people are so special because you can have this really personal relationship with them that you can't have when you get into the thousands and you grow much bigger than that.
Yes, it's real intimate then because you're right on top of those, responding to those comments.
Exactly. Yeah, you're making those friends for life.
Right. Those beginning stages are really special. So enjoy those.
So you mentioned changing your style to suit whatever trend is sort of happening right now. Has that ever happened to you?
Honestly, no, I haven't. I've never been much of a fashion watcher. I'll be honest, I don't know a lot of designers, which I don't say that a lot, but I don't know a lot of designers. I don't keep up with that. I just honestly, I look at patterns or I see, you know, something that I may like and I go with that, but I don't go too far away from what I love. The clothing that I create, it has to be my style. It has to work for my lifestyle. Yeah, I can't be in, you know, glam all day with a toddler. It's not going to work. So I definitely stay true to my style. It's very comfortable. I don't have a problem with saying that. It's very comfortable, casual, but I think I do a good job with keeping it all, you know, together.
You certainly
do. To look, I think I do an okay job with it.
When I think back to when I got back into sewing, oh my gosh, maybe 6 years ago or probably more than that. But I remember getting distracted by those kind of like shiny objects, you know, where you're like, oh, yes, the new pattern came out, I have to make it. Or, you know, I almost didn't really have a true grasp on my own personal style at the time. Cause I feel like when you're getting into sewing, you just get overloaded by all of the things out there. So do you find that maybe your style has evolved over the years since you started sewing? Or do you think it's been pretty like even keel and you sort of understood your style this whole time?
I think it has evolved a little bit. Like I said, I started out sewing maxi skirts. I don't sew those anymore. I don't have a problem with maxi skirts. Don't get me wrong, but now I would probably gravitate to a wrap skirt or something. So I think my style is still the same, but I've evolved it as I've matured. You know, body fluctuates and weight fluctuates and children and pregnancy. So my style has stayed true, but it's just matured. I'll say that. It stayed true to who I am. I just matured a little bit. I still love my wrap dresses. I love my shirt dresses. I love anything that has a twist in the front or a tie. I'm here for all of that. So my style is the same. It's just, you know, mature for the stage that I am right now in my life.
That's awesome. We also love the twists and ties.
Yeah.
Big
fan. I love it.
such a good style.
It's a good style. And I find they're fun in sewing patterns because you never know what the pattern piece is going to look like.
Yeah.
And it's exciting when you unpack it and you're like, oh, it's so weird looking, but it ends up being this cool twister tie. And
yeah,
it's sort of like magical that way.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I can agree with that.
So we also absolutely love your sew in 30 hashtag, and we wanted to ask you about that. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yes, that honestly just started from me honestly just sharing. One day I decided to just, hey, let me, you know, share with people how I sew. I didn't think anything of it because I didn't think anybody would one care, or two, I figured it was something that people were already doing. But I used to sit at the machine and sew for hours and hours and hours. I was only focused on finishing the garment. So yeah. And it's crazy because I just told you all that I have 4 children. So I would be sitting at the machine and I realized, you know, they'll come and go, what's for dinner? And I'm like, dinner.
Fend for yourself. I haven't even hemmed it yet. I can't make dinner.
Exactly. What do you mean, dinner? We just woke up. Isn't it breakfast? So I would just miss all of this time because I was sewing. And I really didn't like that. You know, after too many times that your children come to ask you for dinner, it's like, okay, something's wrong here. So I really started to look at what I was doing and I started to break down my sewing time. So I would go into my sewing room and I would sew. The first time I did it, I said, okay, I'm just going to sew for 30 minutes and then I'm going to leave the project, go do something else, cook or fold laundry, whatever else needs to be done in the house. I'll do that, then I'll come back. So I did that. I sewed the project. I think I got through a couple steps and oh my gosh, I felt so good because I accomplished the 30 minutes. And then I was able to go get something else done and then come back and work a little bit more. I got so much done in my day. I was so productive. I was present with the children. I cooked dinner. and I was able to, you know, make progress on my project. So the whole Sew in 30, when I shared it, I just wanted to show people that now when I think about sewing, I think about making progress. I don't think about completely sitting in one sitting, finishing the garment because of my life. I can't just sit at the machine anymore. I have to break it up.
No, I definitely have thoughts about this because more recently I've been trying to sew in smaller chunks. And that's something that we've talked about on the podcast so much, but it wasn't something that I really put into practice. I'm the type of person that I sit down like you used to be. I sit down and I'm like, I'm in it till the end, you know? Like if it's 2 a.m.
Don't bother me.
Yeah, exactly. Like I will sew until I finish. And really what I realized is that satisfaction that we get from sewing, that fulfillment that we get from sewing, you get that whether you sew for 10 minutes or you sew for 4 hours, you know? So
yes.
Incorporating it into your everyday routine almost makes it more, I don't know, like it sort of feeds my soul almost more being able to just do it in these smaller chunks and feel accomplished at the end of it. And it's not so much about finishing a project. It's just about making progress, like you said. So
yes.
I just absolutely love this hashtag. And I feel like you're starting like a revolution with this because I'm seeing it pop up. And when you were talking about it, I found it super inspiring. So I hope that our listeners go and check it out and maybe take some cues from that because I think it is so amazing to just be able to do it in these like little small chunks of time.
I was blown away by the response from it and people were trying it. I remember Erin of Style Sold Me, she tried it and she did a Instagram story about it. I was just blown away. I was like, wait, no, we're not already doing this? Y'all aren't doing that already? And to, you know, hear people saying that they were overwhelmed because they couldn't find time to sew or they work a 9-to-5 and they, you know, thought they couldn't finish projects. And to hear all of that and like get those messages, I was like, wow, you know, I'm so happy I shared that with you all now because that's how I'm able to sew.
And do you like set a timer so that you sort of keep yourself in check or is it just more of knowing that you're just going to go into it for a shorter period of time than usual?
I do set a timer, because if I don't, then I will just stay in there. I will get lost in the project. So I definitely set a timer, and I don't race the time. I just set the timer, and I know when the timer goes off, whatever I was able to get done, I'm happy with that, and I'm going to go and do something else, and I'll come back. So I do set a 30-minute timer or an hour, however much time I have, which is usually no more than an hour. I'll set a timer for that, and when I'm done, I'm done.
Must be fun to see how much you can get done in an hour. Like at the end of it, you know, maybe going into it, you might think, well, I'll get a few things done. And then at the end of an hour, you're like, wow, I can really measure my progress and see really like how much you can sew in an hour. Must be fun.
Yes. And 30, I remember the last one I did in 30 minutes, I had the front to back of a dress sewn at the shoulders, the sides, and the sleeves attached. All I had to do was hem it.
Amazing.
Wow. And I did all of that in 30 minutes. I was like, okay, I'm happy to stop now. The dress is just about done.
And you're sharing these as videos too, because you've been posting them on your YouTube channel as little 30-minute, well, I guess they're more like 10-minute videos, but they're videos of the 30 minutes that you've been sewing and yes, sharing that too, so people can follow along and see how much they can accomplish in 30 minutes, which is really cool.
Yes, I actually started sharing the Sew in 30 over on YouTube first last year, and I started the videos then. And then this year, I just decided to share on Instagram, and more people saw and are inspired to sew.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you really are so inspiring, Brittany. And one of the things we just love about you, and I was telling you this before we started recording, is that you just radiate positivity and light. And I love following you for many reasons, but thank that you. Is one of the reasons, because I just think you lift others up with your energy. And I guess I'm just curious, how do you stay positive, maybe when things don't go your way in sewing? We've talked about sewing struggles on the show before, so I'm curious how you kind of keep things positive in your day-to-day life, maybe sewing related and not sewing related.
Well, number one is all God. I'm big on faith. I'm big on prayer, and I give all the glory to God for just that joy, because that's what I think it is. It's just joy that I have. So number one, it all goes to him. And I don't know, I feel like I'm the type of person, I can always just kind of find the good in all situations, even the horrible ones with life and with sewing. I can always just kind of find the good in it. Nothing more than that.
I like that. And you've been sharing your true self as well. You were mentioning that other YouTuber, you think she's very real. And I think you're very real as well. I feel like I have a strong sense of your personality and just really enjoy following you. And we recently did a whole episode on a big topic called Why Do We Sew? So we thought it would be fun to end off this interview with you and ask you why you sew.
I sew to share. I sew to express myself. I sew to have an outlet for myself, something that's separate from just being, not just being a mom and wife, because those are very important. That's who I am. So I won't say just being that, but I sew to have that outlet, something that's my own. And hopefully through me sewing and sharing, I can inspire someone along the way.
I'm sure you've inspired many someones along the way. And where can our listeners follow you and find you online?
Oh, great. Over on Instagram, I am at Brittany J. Jones. My blog is BrittanyJJones.com. And you can find me over on YouTube at Brittany J. Jones. Live, love, sew.
Awesome.
Perfect. Go follow her, you guys.
Yeah, we're going to link everything in the show notes. And I know our listeners are going to love hearing from you. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a blast talking to you all.
Oh, you too.
Bye.
Bye. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. Thank you to our sponsor, Spoonflower. Get 15% off your first Spoonflower order at try.spoonflower.com/love to sew.
Don't forget, we are doing a survey to learn more about you. You can find that in the show notes, in our newsletter, or on our Instagram page.
We're recording today in dark nighttime Vancouver, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
You can find me, Helen, at helenscloset.ca and Caroline at blackbirdfabrics.com. Our show is produced by the beautiful, the amazing Sam Humphrey.
Inimitable Sam Humphrey.
Thank you, Sam. And thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Sam the patient, more like.
We love you, Sam.
Sam just sits quietly in the bedroom while we record for like 2 hours. No.
No.
She's so unimpressed.
It's late.